This morning, open our Bibles to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. It's good to have Brother Alan Jones with us this morning from up in Ohio. Been a friend of our work, been working here with us for many years. If you have your Bible, we're in our 12th lesson on the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And you might also turn in the 14th chapter of the book of Exodus. And we'd like to look at some things there this morning. It would be a help to you. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we've taken it time after time and week after week, and it's been a real blessing. But in verse 29 of the 11th chapter, and that's where we're at this morning, it says, "By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned." Now, this is a strange thing. We're in verse 29, but I noticed that in verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, and verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, and it goes right on each time in each one of those verses, and it said when he done this and when he's done that, but in verse 29 it said by faith they, and it changes from he to they. It's not he by himself anymore. Now he's with God's people. He's in his place of leadership that God has put him in. And he's going about the work of God, doing what God wants him to do. And it's not him anymore, singular, but it's they. Now that's the only time they ought to be mentioned. A lot of people in the church say they done this and they done that. Well, there's nobody here by that name. But this here is talking about the whole crew. Amen. By faith, they pass through. So I want you to get that this morning. This is the last of 12 series of these messages, and we wanted to talk about how God gave to Moses and the children of Israel, how he led them through the Red Sea on the dry land, how he groomed Moses, got Moses ready for the work, and then took God 80 years to get Moses ready to do the great exploits that he done. It'll be worth your while to read Exodus chapter 4, verse 14, so that through verse 14, so the whole background of this great deliverance is all recorded, and gives you a great picture of how God did this, and get it clear in your mind. Then you'll notice Hebrews 11, 20 through 28, Moses is emphasized all the way through. But now we're down in verse 29, and we're coming down to they, and they are the children of Israel. The whole group, the whole bunch. Now, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as dry land. Now, when the Egyptians tried this, the Bible said they were drowned. Now, an unsaved person can join a church, and an unsaved person can be baptized, and an unsaved person can go through all the motion, but an unsaved person can't follow a person who is saved, blood-washed, got his dependence in God, and trust in the Bible. He won't follow it. He'll say he's a fanatic, and he can't make it. He can't cut it. So you can watch them try, but I've noticed all these years that the unsaved won't last long. Amen, 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 amen. Now, it was Moses' faith and their faith too, because they had to have faith to do what Moses said. They had to have faith to follow Moses, and regardless of many times their faith was little, but God hadn't had them 80 years preparing them like he had Moses. So you get that straight. Now, this shows us how important it is for Moses to obey the Lord. For if he had disobeyed and failed, then all of God's work here, as far as God's people was concerned, would have been diverted. So we need to remember that. And if he would have went bad, he'd have caused multitudes to do the same thing. If he'd have made a mistake of not leading God's people out, it had been a great mistake for them. Amen for everybody. All right. Now, he had a tremendous responsibility, and it always rests upon those who are appointed of God in a place of leadership. We're hearing a lot about this, Brother Jones, and I believe it, you know, about leadership, but somehow or another, if we're not careful, as independent Baptists, you can become a dictator, and that's not what God wants. God don't want it. We talk about leadership, but with the gift of leadership and with leadership also comes responsibility. And so, what do we say? Pastoral authority? Yeah. We hear so much about that. I don't care. That word, somehow, it grits me. I believe in pastoral responsibility. I have a responsibility to the church. I have a responsibility to God. And authority and total authority corrupts anybody. That's what it did to Adolf Hitler, and do the same thing to you, me, or anybody else. But with leadership comes responsibility. And it's a great thing when God's key men are in touch with God and in touch with the people. They know what the people needs, and they know what God wants, and they lead out in that sense of the word. We prayed about 10 years about this building, and about a building that God wanted us to have. So we prayed 10 years. After you pray 10 years, there's nothing to vote about. Our hearts were all united on this thing. We were totally united. We wanted God's will. And the minute God showed it to us, we didn't even have to vote on it. There's no use voting on what God's already opened the door on. Amen? That always did bother me, you know, pray 10 years, find out what God wants to do, and then go vote about it, see whether God wants to do it or not. Whether we want to do it or not, amen? And that don't make any sense. Amen? We find out what God wants to do, then do it. Amen? All right. All right. So we want to look up here, and we want to notice Moses, it's leadership, and by faith, they passed through the Red Sea. And this was a mighty exodus, probably 2.5 or 3 million people, and these people are leaving. This is not a little Mickey Mouse operation going on. It's a big operation, millions of people, a jillion head of cattle, and millions of dollars left with them. Amen. That's what the Bible says. Amen. That's what the Bible says. And so they didn't just leave there broke. They didn't leave there bankrupted. And faith doesn't leave people bankrupted. I've heard people say, well, we did this by faith, and God's going to have to do something. If you did it by faith, God's going to do something. Amen. Amen. All right. All right. Now let's look at the first thing here is, and that is that when God speaks and God opens the door and God puts a man or woman in a place of leadership, then God provides a channel to bring the victory. Amen? God provides a channel. Now, a victorious faith is a faith which is greater than any fear. Now, I want you to get that. I want you to look in Isaiah. This was a good verse of Scripture in the book of Isaiah in chapter 12. And some of you could quote that verse of Scripture. You've memorized it. But in chapter 12 of that book, in verse 2, it says, Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength, my song, and he's also become my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. God has not given us the spirit of fear. And there's a lot of people right here, you're fearful. If God would speak to your husband about something, you're fearful. And it's natural to be maybe inquisitive. It'd be natural to ask some questions. It might even be natural to ask why or how come. But it's not natural, it's not spiritually natural for a person to sit around and fret and be afraid of the will of God. I mean, God is not going to hurt anybody. God's not in the business of hurting. God is in the business of helping. I remember about a year ago, Brother Dan here had a job working here. Brother Carl paid him about $500 a week, and he'd been with him for a number of years. And I remember when God began to speak to him about November a year ago to quit his job and go down into the rescue mission. I heard a number of people here say, well, what is he going to do? Well, now, I'm saying this, that faith is not foolishness. Faith is stepping out with God when God is really leading. And God had been leading Dan for 6 or 7 years. It was not just a step out here in the dark. It was a step out there in the light. Faith is not a step in the dark. Faith is a step in the light. Now, you get that this morning. You've got the light. God gives the light. Brother Dan talked to me, counseled with me, counseled some other men in the church here. We prayed about it for a number of months and months and months. And one day, God just shoved him out. Job was quit. God opened the door. And people called him down to Star Hope Rescue Mission. Man called him in and said, sit down, Dan. I want to tell you why that won't work. He said, you don't understand the financial end. how much it rolls down here. Well, I said a building is $2,000 or $3,000 a month. Well, when God's already got a millionaire in North Carolina that he wants to speak to pay for it, it doesn't make any difference, does it? You said, did you know about that? No, but God did. God knew right where that man was at. He was going to take care of that every month and send a check. And if he dies, God got somebody else to take care of it. It's not dependent on the man. It's dependent on God. Now, the rent has never been past due, and the light bill and the electric bill, they said, you just can't do that. But then you know what they said the last part of the year? They said, we are in the worst position that we've ever been since we've been in existence in 70 years. And Dan says, I'm just like I was when I started. I was broke when I started, I'm broke now, and we're just having a wonderful time. I'm not talking about the faith that Moses had. We kind of got to get it up to date. You know, you're talking about what happened 5,000 years ago. I mean, will it work today? Is this thing all right today? Will it work today? It works today. It'll work today just like it did. Now, a victorious faith is a faith which is greater than all fear. Now, it's natural for a man who's a wife of three children, and the man gets in the ministry here, and God begins to lead him and direct him or whatever, and he starts to take a step, and the woman says, well, I wonder what. You know, it's a strange thing. If that man would go down and join the military, and they'd give him some kind of a rank, and they say, now we'd like for you to go to chat. And that lady get on the phone, called everybody, said, you know, my husband has got an appointment. He's been asked by President Reagan to go over and represent this great country and work in an embassy, and he's going to stand over on guard duty. And she don't have any fear at all. I mean, she's just a nut. And here comes the crazy Arab with a bonnet on top of his head with 900 pounds of dynamite, runs right through the door and blows them all up. She ought to be scared to death. But she ain't scared at all. I mean, look at what the Lord, I mean, God has really been good to us. And then mother and grandpa and everybody said, oh, do you know who my son is? My son works with the United States Embassy in Beirut. Well, he's a coconut. Anybody who goes over has got to be out of their mind, amen? Amen. I wouldn't even catch an airplane going that way, amen? All right. But when God speaks to somebody and says, I want you to go to Mexico, and I said, well, what's that going to do with their children? You know, victorious faith is a faith which is greater than any fear. Now, be careful and notice that the three words that Moses spoke to the children of Israel, these are recorded in chapter 14 of Exodus. You got your Bible there? Look back in Exodus now. In Exodus 14 and verse 3, amen? In chapter 14 and verse 13, I got it right now. In verse 13, here's what the Word of God said. And Moses said unto people, fear not, stand still. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptian whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Here's the end of it. God has spoken. God's man was in leadership. God's man was in tune with God. God's man had heard from the Lord. And God's man announced to these people, God is fixing to take care of you. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That's hard to do. Many times God gets to deal with you, wants you to do something. God wants you to get in the local church, stand still, wait on God, wait on God, wait on God. And when God gets ready, it doesn't take God a minute.
Yes, sir.
I mean, Brother Larry Attaker's a living testimony. He stood over and helped play the organ and sat over and didn't do nothing. And after 2 years, all of his preacher friends said, what are you going to do? 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 And he said, well, do what God said. What did God say? Stand still, stand still. And in 3 days' time, Larry Oddicker's in Germany. God's moving. God's saving souls. He's pastor of church there. I mean, God's doing a work with a young man. And a man called me yesterday, I believe it was yesterday morning, and he called me from Los Angeles, California. And he said, Brother Jack, I just want to praise God for Larry Oddicker. Oddicker, he said, that his name, Oddicker? I said, yeah, that's his name. He said, I've got a young man and his family just come into our church. He won them to Christ over there in Germany. They've just come to our church, joined our church, and Brother Wood, they look like good people who want to serve the Lord. Thank God, he said, for Larry Oddicker. Amen? Are you listening now? Why, that fear is not in God's vocabulary, except fear of the Lord. Amen? We fear everything but Him. Somebody said there's 366 fear nots in the Bible. They said that's one for every day of the year and one for leap year. Now, each lady here, you need that. And each man, you need that. You said, Brother Woods, you just don't know. Brother Wood, I'm just geared this way that I need certain security. I've got my mother and I, we have a friend that we had for many, many years, and that's the way she was. And she said, my husband's going to retire in 2 years, Wife's Boiler Works. Have you been by there lately? You know where Wife's Boiler Works is, Brother? Remember Wife's Boiler Works down there on the Hempstead Highway? It's been closed now for 3 or 4 years, bankrupted, and this old man never got a quarter retirement. That was his security. I laughed at my brother-in-law. He's not saved. My uncle always told him that they went to the war together, went to the army together, and was over in the Philippines together during World War II. And Johnny always told him, I'm a city fireman. I'm going to get this big retirement. And Charlie, he never done nothing. When the deal was over, he spent 6.5 years in the military, and they give him $700 a month retirement, and Johnny got $450 from the fire department. And Charlie sits and laughs at him. What are you trying to say, preacher? You can't trust the world. You got to trust God and do what God wants you to do. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Now let's look at another thing here, please, if you will. A victorious faith stands still and trusts God to work. I said it stands still and trusts God to work. Most people are busy trying to build bridges and work out some things in their life. How about God? I mean, God is able, isn't He? I've watched some of y'all come here to this church already saved, and I saw God just begin to do something in your life and work in your life just because for the first time in your life, you stood still. You're too busy. Brother Jones, did that happen in your life?
Amen.
Now, Brother Jones is an educated man, got a doctor's degree, and so we can ask him, Brother Jones, did this work in your life? Did you try to be busy, 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 and finally none of it worked? And finally you just said, Lord, what about it? Stand still and see the salvation of God. Now, Brother Jones, how long have you been pastor up there in Lebanon?
13 years.
13 years in Lebanon, Ohio, and nobody even knew where he was at but God. And then about 8 months ago, Brother Jones, God just opened doors all over America. The first 6 months of this year just about booked up. I mean, he's just everywhere teaching family life centers, teaching people how to correct children. He spent his life working with children, wrote 2 or 3 books on it and what have you. And God just took him in 6 months' time, and every preacher he knows said, now, Alan, you better listen. You better be careful now. You better stay in the mainstream. But he just said, hey, I'll just get over here at Lebanon, wait on God, trust in God, do what God wants me to do, and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Moses said, it's really not much use doing anything, because what can you do? Did you ever think about that? That is a good thought, isn't it? I mean, here Moses is with 2.5 million people. He hadn't got any iron workers, and he hadn't got any bridge material. And he's got him a big sea to cross. And the enemy is right behind him, and he don't have no swords, he don't have no guns, he don't have no artillery. He hadn't got a thing in the world to do, but if that'd been you and I, we'd been making some kind of plans. And it'd be the last plan would have been, said, get me one horse, the fastest one, in the whole army we got here of Israel, and in case all of it fails, at least I can get away. But Moses said, stand still. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, this is very difficult. What do they call these streets out here now, Wavon? They got a new name for them. We call them Dead End Street when I was a kid. They call them cul-de-sac. Cul-de-sac. Amen. She keeps telling me what that is, you know, but I don't know. I was a kid, you just on Dead End Street. Amen. Yeah, you turn around, go out. But that's the way God's people are. They're just that little turn around. They just go around, and they turn around, come out, go back, turn around, come out, and they never get nowhere. Hey, you're on a dead-end street just going around and around and around and around. Oh, God might have you hemmed up. Now, I've owned a horse or two in my life and cowboyed all my life, but I've just seen some old horses that you just had to literally get him hemmed up to catch him. And if you got him out in the pasture, you better get you a net. And I believe God's got some people like that. God's just got to keep hemming them up, hemming them up, and hemming them up. And it looks like everything's went wrong. And God said, hey, look up. Oh, I've already tried that, Brother Wood. There's ladies in this church, they'll call my wife. And ladies from other churches, they'll call my wife. And they said, Miss Wood, what do you do about this? And she said, oh, I've already tried that. Well, then you say, well, what do you do about this girl? And my wife will tell her, oh, I've already tried that. I've already tried that. I mean, they've already tried everything. But trust God. Trust God. Believe God. Get to know God better. Just sit still. Shut your mouth. Open your ears. Fast and pray and say, Lord, speak to me. No, we're too busy for that. But now Moses and them, I mean, God got them out here. There's no bridge. The Red Sea's right in the front of them. And so they had nothing to do. They couldn't go back, and they couldn't move forward. God had them locked in. Now, I believe that's what it done to Jacob, wasn't it?
Amen.
He just broke his hip and said, now, let me see you run. Now, it's pretty, you said God didn't do that. Well, who did? The Bible doesn't say that he touched his hip and was out of joint, and he walked that way the rest of his life. God did it. And sometimes God goes to some extremity to get to you and I that he might talk to us. And we keep saying, Lord, I need to get my problems solved. We read another book, and we call up another friend, and we hang up the phone, and we're more confused than we started. A lot of times advice only confuses. Amen, preacher. Amen. Now, Moses stood there, watched God's power and God's victory, and he looked up, and all of his being hemmed in and everything just brought glory to God. Now, look at the third thing here. A victorious faith is ready to finish praying and go into action.
Amen.
Now, look at Exodus 14 and verse 15, and here's what the Word of God said. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward.
Yes.
You said, well, I'm praying about it. No, the praying's over. Praying's all over. It's time to move out for God. And so you remember the story of Achan, how that Achan was defeated Ai. And when he was defeated Ai, they all got out and started praying. God said, get up. There's nothing to pray about. That's sin in the camp. And sometimes we're praying when there's sin in the camp. God said, get it out. And so what happened, preacher? Well, do you know the story of how the man needed to walk down there, and Joshua walked down there and said, praise the Lord, Achan. It's pretty hard to praise the Lord when your heart's black as hell. Couldn't do it. He couldn't praise the Lord. He said, I've sinned. I took the Babylonian garment, the wedge of gold. What was so bad about that, Brother Jack? It belonged to God.
Amen.
That was the first town, and the first town was God's town. The first gold was God's gold, and the first silver was God's silver, and God said it was the accursed thing. It belonged to God. It was to go in God's treasure. And from there on out, you'll find out God gave him every other bit to himself. They took it all. They could have it all, but not that time. That was God's time. Amen? God performed the miracle. God captured the city, and so faith is a victorious faith that's ready to finish praying and go into action. There comes a time when praying has to stop and action is to be taken. Action sometimes is faith. It was in this man's life, and it'd be there are some people who go on praying when they should be somewhere doing. They said, I'm waiting on the Lord. He's gone. I had a pastor friend of mine. He had every kind of degree you could get in the world. He was a Mexican brother, a dear friend of mine. He's an older man now. And he had a chicken. His kid raised an Easter chicken. The chicken got grown. They'd been without groceries for 3 or 4 months, building a good church site, done a good job. Been there for now, I guess, over 30 years. But back in them days, early days when we started preaching. And so he decided he would just kill that chicken and eat the chicken. Didn't have nothing there. So they killed the chicken, and there wasn't enough meat on his bone to even favor the rice. Rather, they put him in some bit of rice. And he said to me, he said, what should a man do? I said, I have no problem with it at all. When I ain't got no food, I go to work. I don't have any problem with that at all. He said, well, I've been praying about that. You can quit praying and go down and unload a truck downtown. That's what we always did here. I mean, we was out at, my dad had trailer trucks down in the old market, and two or three of us young preachers had tents up here. We'd go down and unload a truck and get $30 and go buy some groceries and go out that night and preach. I mean, ain't no problem. He said, I'm waiting on the Lord. He's already gone. He said, if you don't work, you don't eat. Amen. That's very simple. Oh, you say, I'm living by faith. No, you're living by foolishness. That ain't faith. Amen. Faith puts a seed in the ground. And faith watches it come up. And faith looks up and asks God to rain on it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And then faith looks out and says, God, give me a big crop, because I planted it for the glory of God. Amen. So faith is a victorious faith that's ready to finish praying and go into action. And so let me say again, prayer is not wrong. But after you get through praying, then there's time to do something. Many times when God speaks to you, when the Lord has revealed his will, it's time to do something. And when God hadn't revealed his will, it's time to shut your mouth, open your heart, open your ears, and wait on God. Brother Brad Toe got a call this week, and his dad asked him, said, I want you to come to Howell Lodge and spend a couple of weeks with me. And Brad said, well, I can't. And the old man, he's sick. He's bad sick. And Brad's dad's not saved. And Brad's prayed for him. And he said, look, I just want you to come to Hawaii. And we just walk up and down the beach. And Brad come talk to me. And I said, man, look, just go in there and call him. Tell him to be there for these weeks. And so Brad went and called. Brad talked to him. And he's going to spend a week with him. You pray for this man that God would save him. But in Brad's heart, Brad knows exactly where God revealed to him in San Francisco, where he was to be, what he was to be doing, and that's what he is doing. But this man's soul is priceless in the sight of God. He was here down here a while back. We dealt with him, and many of the men here prayed with him and talked with him. God's going to save this man. And you pray for him. You pray for him. But when God reveals his will, ain't no use sitting around praying no more, Brother Brad, and you got to get on that airplane. I'm praying about it. No, you ain't no use praying. You got to go get on the plane. And you're praying about it, you ain't never going to get to Hawaii unless you catch that plane. Amen? Amen.
Right.
You said, Brother Wood, I'd like to be like some of these old saints of God around here to really live for the Lord. I've always said this, because I got it from Miss Meredith in the sixth grade. Wish in one hand and spit in the other. See which one gets full first. You don't become a spiritual person. You don't become a godly person. You don't become what God wants you to be. Wish it. You come by praying and doing what God wants you to do, and God will let you grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. I've heard people get up here and sing and play the piano and play the harp and play everything. And the people say, I wish I could do that. But just keep on wishing. And you never will. Amen. I had a man that I knew, he wore a 10-gallon hat, a big pair of boots. He couldn't ride a stick horse. He dreamed that he was, I don't know, Hopalong Cassidy or somebody. And he dreamed all of his life that he ought to own the Bonanza Ranch. But that man's dying today, about 75 years old. And that man has never owned nothing. And I guess I've seen him have a hold of 10 or 12 ranches that he bought on credit. He dreamed and lived that he was a rancher. But that man was a dreamer. There's a lot of people in this family, Brother Jones, that are dreamers. My dad and I have talked about this many times, about this man. He's a fine fellow, but he's a dreamer. He's not a cowman. He's not a trader. He don't know nothing about ranching. But he wants to be a rancher. He dreamed all of his life. It cost him his family. The other day, his daughter went to take him some medicine, and she was killed right after she left the house in a car. It's cost him everything that he's got dreaming. He's a dreamer. When God reveals his will to you, you're not dreaming. Every God's man's got a dream, but he's not a dreamer. The dream is, God's going to use me. God wants me to do this, and that's wonderful. But don't be a dreamer. Brother Dan asked me, he said, have you ever looked up the word imagination? I've never looked up the word, but I got some. Brother Dan told me, he looked it up in an old dictionary last night. You know what imagination is? That's reaching back in the back of your mind and getting some little idea here about
say like that man did about a ranch and some cattle and some cowboys and what have, and putting that all together and making you a fantasy world and living in it.
Amen.
That's what imagination is, and they can be evil imagination.
That's
right. And you just get to building that thing in your house. I've got an uncle, and he and I have just always been just real close. He's not saved, but that man has dreamed all of his life, and my brother-in-law calls him, silver dollar, diamond gem, he calls it, that's what it is. Yeah, he's dreamed all of his life of being a millionaire. He ain't never had a quarter, and it looks like he's gonna die, and he still ain't got nothing. He's a dream. He's a dream. Most of us sitting right here, you're going to die broke. We'll probably take up an offering and bury you. So, quit dreaming. Wake up. If you had $10,000 or $20,000, it would probably ruin you. You'd think you were somebody, and you'd tell us how smart you were and how you got it. You'd probably just wreck your whole life, Did you ever read about the people who... everybody that gets any of this money, like $1 million overnight or $2 million, did you ever follow it up and read about those people, what happened to them? It's chaos to every one of them. You said, boy, I wish I did. They did too. They wished it too. We'll speak about that. Did you ever notice one day that Hank Williams Jr. woke up and said, hey, man, I can do this? And him and his stepmother got in an argument. He began to get all that money, and by the time he was 23 years old, one of the worst drug addicts in this country. They put him in every cure hospital. I was curious about that thing. And anybody that's lived broke all their life in poverty, and they wake up the next morning with $1 million, they're in a heap of trouble. Amen? Amen. Sure, sure. Because every buzzard in town knows it, and they're out there to get some of it. Amen? But I want you to notice something else about, let's go on from the action. A victorious faith steps out on the impossible. Look in chapter 14 of verse 21 of the book of Exodus. And the Bible says very clearly, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Norman Vincent Peale said, so what? He said, I drive under the Hudson every morning. He made fun of this verse of Scripture. He's made fun of a lot of Scripture, but when he gets where he's going, it won't be far. But Moses stretched out his hand over there. Just stretched out his hand, just like God said, and God did the work. You said Moses was a great man. What Moses did, it was God.
Amen.
It's God did it. Now, a victorious faith, it steps out of Moses stretched out his hand. But the Lord caused the sea to go back. And our text tells us when Moses stretched out his hand, he demonstrated an absolute confidence in God. Man, you just see this crazy man. Here's the enemy coming. Here's the sea in front of him, and he's stretching out his hand. Now, Naaman knew something about this. When Naaman came down there to get healed, you remember? This is years later. He said, I thought you'd come out here and strike your hand out. He done heard about Moses. He knew all about that. If he hadn't knew all about that, he wouldn't have been down there to start with. But he had an absolute confidence in his faith in God and in God's promises. And his heart was set. God is able to do what he said. Then chapter 14, verse 16, lift up the rod, stretch out thine hand over the sea, divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry land through the midst of the sea. God had already told Moses what to do. What we read in verse 21 is Moses doing what God said. Faith is not stepping out in the dark. He wasn't just raising his hand like some people. God told him to raise his hand. That sounds very silly to me, to raise your hand over an ocean. Nothing silly when God says it. So a victorious faith steps out on the impossible. Humanly speaking, the situation was impossible. But faith always laughs at the impossible, and the fool always laughs at faith. But faith marches on, and the fool drowns. Amen? Amen. All right. So you get that. So Moses obeyed God. Impossible, As the whole situation seemed, Moses obeyed God. And God was true to himself as he always is. God cannot lie. God performed a miracle. Now, if there is some seemingly impossible Red Sea situation in your life, believe God. There were two men. They were deacons in a church. You can, when you get home today, there's a Southern Baptist pastor friend of mine. You can call Dr. Percy Ray and ask him. He's just had a bad stroke. He's died. He's an old bachelor that's built a great work there in Mississippi. You can call him and ask him. There's two deacons that destroyed a church. They totally destroyed it. They were just ungodly men, unsaved men. They were wicked. I mean, rebels. They're going to run that church or destroy it. So they destroyed it. Church run about 150, 200. They nailed the doors up and they went out. So a young man, he come out of school and went back to his hometown and he said, I'm opening up that church. And being a very unwise young man, he just went out in the community and opened the doors, cleaned the church all up, got the old people, let him have it. And the first two people he got was them two old deacons. I mean, just wicked, ungodly men. They come back, going to run this church. And so this boy, he'd come to Myrtle all the time, and to camp meetings, and so he got up, he called Brother Percy one night. Brother Percy said, let's pray. You have to know Brother Percy weighs 300 pounds. He said, God killed both them deacons. He said, I don't believe y'all pray like that. Well, you go tell Brother Percy, he's 80 years old, you tell him what you want to. But he prayed anyway. He said, dear God, he said, we've had a church there, and I've been up on revival, and these boys have worked, and these two rebels have destroyed it once, and they're going to destroy it again, and I'm asking you to move them. So these two deacons, they got in their car that Saturday night, and they're mad at the preacher. They're going to run him off. And they come around the curve, and here come a man with a load of pulp wood and run over him. And the boy called, and he was in tears and said, Brother Percy, said, they've had a terrible wreck out here. He said, kill one of them, and the other one is near death. And he said, I wish you'd pray for him. Percy said, I already prayed for him. I ain't praying no more. He said, that sounds horrible to me. Call Percy. You see, Percy loved the church. And Percy loved God's work. And you and I get wrapped up in a lot of sentimental foolishness sometimes. You say, I don't believe you ought to pray that way. Well, why did you pray during the Japanese war that the Americans would help our soldiers to win? You said they were the enemy, Brother Jack. Amen. Okay. Now we're back to it, aren't we? Then you say, well, it's all right if I think it's all right. Unless some preacher does it, then it's all wrong. But Brother Percy knew how to pray. You said, well, what I'd have prayed, Brother Wood, dear God, in your gracious way, would you please let those two move their letter somewhere else? Who won't send them? You wouldn't be that ungodly to grant two heathens like that a letter somewhere else, would you? You wouldn't wish nobody like that off on nobody else, would you? Won't you just do like Percy did? Pray. Amen? There's some things I'm saying you've wished it on people, but you never had the guts to pray. But David said, Lord, break my enemy's teeth. Ooh. That sounds hard. Break their teeth. Right down to the nerve, every time they take a drink of water, they'll remember it, You know what I'm talking about. I had a dentist working on me this week. Faith don't cuddle these little foolish ideas we got. Faith just reaches up and says, God, we're in war. And we're asking you to remove the enemy. Moses never sat down and said, well, I remember that general there that just drowned it, and here come one floating by, big as a barrel, done blowed up, And Moses looked at him and said, oh, I remember him. Me and him was in the army. That was one of my best. No, he never sat around worried about him. He said, now they belong to Pharaoh's army. I prayed. I raised my hand. God performed a miracle. God drowned that bunch of buzzards. Moses sat up there and sung the song of deliverance. Yeah, you said, I can't handle that, Brother Wood. That's an Old Testament. You better get over in the book of Revelation. We'll be in the New Testament. They're singing the song of deliverance. Amen. All right. Now, victor's faith steps out on the impossible. It's a very humble reliance on the Word of God, believing that God's able to do what He said. Now, a victor's faith always endures to the end. Look in 14:22 of that book. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea, up on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall on them on the right hand and on the left. They went into the dry sea, the Bible said. Faith, a victorious faith, will endure to the end. Let the enemy come, let the obstacles get in the way, but a victorious faith endures to the end. A victorious faith doesn't quit, doesn't look at all these obstacles. So we have a picture of God's people passing through the sea. It's not he no more, it's they. You know, Brother Jones, when you get home, you look up the word. I've been looking this word up. I've been messing this word for years in the King James Bible, the word compacted. That word, I've done everything with it in the Greek, Hebrew, English, and Chinese that I can, and the Spanish and everywhere else. And somehow or another, you know, they put a load of garbage in a truck, and they, you know, them guys with the garbage truck, and they compact all that garbage together. Well, that's what the church is trying to do today. They're going out and getting every barrel of garbage they can and trying to blow it together, and they say, we're going to make a lovely church out of this. No. But God knits hearts together, and over there in the book of Ephesians, he said, and are compacted until where every joint will supply the needs of others, you know. That's what it's for. And you look that word up everywhere you find that word in the Bible, and you go back, and it's over in the Psalms, I noticed. And everywhere you find it, it's just very closely associated with the word fellowship and the word harmony and the word concord. Amen? Are you listening? Yeah. Well, we have the word fellowship, the word communication, that word compacted. And so when God puts people together by faith, it's not he anymore, it's not Moses anymore, it's not Brother Jack's work anymore, it's they. Pass through the Red Sea. See, it wasn't Brother Wood moved from Shady Acres over here. It was they. Yeah, it was they. You see, there's not much talked about Moses. And it said, and God prepared a table in the wilderness for who? For Israel. It becomes Israel now, not Moses. Israel. It's the church now. Amen, 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 amen. All right. But we have a picture here. Faith replied. Some walls of the them walls collapsed when the world got out there and they all drowned. Faith replied, we can, they cannot. Now you'll walk out of here if you're not saved, you're not living for God, and you'll say, I'd like to see you eat that faith. Well, I tell you what you do, you take a good look at me this morning, a real good look, and you'd be seeing a fellow that for 32 years has ate just that much. And I've gained weight ever since I started. When I got in today, I got saved, I weighed 127, and today I weigh 200. So I ain't lost no weight. And so what you'll do, you'll excuse that, and you'll say, yeah, but you know, Brother Wood, this church pays your salary. You're ignorant. You don't know what you're talking about. You have no idea what you're even talking about. You're making excuse that God's not able to do what he said in his book. Your mind is trying to conscrew up and say, God can't. The children of Israel said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Well, you're going to ask if God can. God did. They ate every morning. They ate every morning. When they got tired of eating manna, they quailed. God set a table right in the middle of the wilderness. I was in the wilderness one time, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I tell you, I'm sick and tired. I've ate every kind of bird. I've ate every kind of bird that there is. I'm just about ready to fly myself. And I was right down on the Pilcomayo in Argentina, and I looked up, and here come a big hog running. I don't know what was after him, but I just reached on my side, picked up a .45 and shot him. And I just got out, cut me two big hams off of him, hung on the back of my horse. I was riding along. I said, Lord, I really appreciate his ham. And about that, I mean, I had rode 2 miles, Brother Jones, and a great big ostrich, I mean a great big ostrich, that's all, got up and run across the road, and I rode right over there, and he was sitting on a nest of them ostrich eggs, and we got them all, but I got me one, and I hit it with a hammer, and sat down and had a ham and eggs right in the middle of the jungle. I'm just telling you, God can. You said, that just happened to happen, yeah, the hog just happened to come by, and just happened to find an egg. One ostrich egg weighs about 2.5 pounds. That's about 12 eggs, and I ate it all. I ate the whole thing. I love an egg. I love egg. One time I caught some eggs, but come find out they was buzzard eggs. I didn't eat them. When I saw the bird come back to light, I left. Amen. I left that. All right. But a victorious faith endures to the end. First, the Lord's name is honored. Second, the people of God are delivered. Third, the power of darkness is overthrown. That's it. That's the answer right there. Did you get it? The first is, the Lord's name is honored. Second, the people of God are delivered. Third, the power of darkness is overthrown. Father, we put the message into your hands. Use it for thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen.